The coordinated terrorist attacks this week in Brussels, which claimed more than 30 lives, have made clear once again the daunting task faced by the EU and the security community, as well as NATO. This week, we had the opportunity to talk to Czech General Petr Pavel. He's the chairman of the NATO Military Committee. And he told Radio Prague that far greater cooperation between different players, including the EU and NATO, would be needed when it came to security. I began first by asking the general about the two main threats that NATO spelled out back in 2014.
NATO has identified in its strategic documents two major threats. One identified as the eastern threat, represented today by Russia and its aggressive, or we can say assertive, policy through annexation of territory, through direct support of separatist movements, through support to the regime of Bashar Assad, who is definitely not considered to be a democratic leader. So that's one threat. Another threat is defined as southern threat, and it's represented by extremist and terrorist movements, today mostly by Islamic State.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to Russia, is Russia, say, easier to define as a threat or easier to sort of predetermine what its actions might be?
We used to say in the past that Russia is unpredictable in her behavior. Russian leadership is opportunistic in their policies. I am not just of that opinion. I believe that Russian actions, Russian motivation is to some extent predictable. Even though I agree that they are acting quite often opportunistically, using any chance we give them by lack of our own action, undecisiveness, or concerns with our national caveats. So in that sense, Russian policies are predictable.
And the terrorist ones, obviously, as we've seen once again, are very difficult to predict. We saw another terrible attack, this time in Brussels, that ISIS has taken responsibility for. How do you stop a foe that does rely on these kinds of means, using terrorism to strike civilians in so-called soft spots, and on its home territory is insurgent and uses asymmetric warfare? How do you stop that kind of foe?
It is very difficult, and it's also difficult to identify motivation, because terrorism, mostly presented as Islamic, has very little to do with the Islamic religion. Even though these people present themselves as jihadists or fighters for freedom and religion, they are, in fact, by their deeds, criminals. They do not distinguish between Christians, Muslims, or any other religions. They simply kill everyone, including women and children. And in that sense, I think our concern is to delegitimize their actions as being religiously motivated, because we simply have to clearly state that this is a criminal activity.
Is there a broader role for NATO to play in this? Because we have heard declarations, for example, from the French Prime Minister saying that Europe is at war. So what is NATO's role within blunting or stopping groups like Islamic State?
I would see it as a simplification of a problem, because if we say that we are at war, then we implicitly say that this is more or less military business to deal with this kind of threat. We all know that the military has an important role to play, but not the only one. We really need a much broader, much more comprehensive approach to address the issue of terrorism, because military tools are just a very small part of the toolbox. We don't want only to address the symptoms, we want to address root causes. And military can only act in defeating military part of the terrorism. But what are the grassroots of terrorism? It's mostly deprivation, it's a social situation, it's obviously religious strife, at this time mostly between Sunni and Shia branches in Islam. And it's a vast variety of other factors where military has no tools to be effective. So I really believe that we need to address the issue of extremism and terrorism through addressing the security, social, economic situation in the countries where the terrorism has the roots.
Mm-hmm. At any given moment when you turn on a news channel now, it appears that the situation, and I say appears, is rapidly deteriorating on many fronts. We have Europe in the midst of a migration crisis. Many politicians are taking advantage of it to spread an anti-migration mood. Has the situation gotten out of hand in terms of potential threats in connection with the migration crisis? Because we don't know who is coming in, who is going.
I believe that there is a clear link between terrorism, extremism, and migration. Not that terrorism would be the only source or reason for migration, but it's one of the major sources for migration and causing instability, causing fear, and of course influx of people to Europe. We have to be cautious when receiving migrants to distinguish between those who deserve the status of a refugee, who come from war-torn countries, and those who are mostly economic migrants. And also we have to apply a very strict screening, both security and medical, when we accept these people to Europe, so that we are sure that they are not a direct threat to our security interests.
Let me ask again, what do you foresee could be NATO's role in that respect? Because I know regarding the migration crisis that you have 7 boats in the Aegean, but is there, say, a broader role which is under discussion?
What we call Aegean Initiative, now consisting of 7 ships, is an immediate reaction to the call of 3 nations, Germany, Turkey, and Greece, who, through their ministers of defense in February in Brussels, asked the alliance to provide support to EU operation in Aegean Sea. I see it as a very useful, but still only a fraction of a necessary effort. Because it's not just Aegean Sea. We have to address much broader area, not geographically, but much broader in terms of measures and tools. So we are now working on, let's say, basic principles on the foundation of a future strategy of NATO to the south, where NATO, using assets available to NATO, mostly military, will cooperate with other major players like European Union, African Union, regional groupings, and also non-aligned nations willing to cooperate to address much broader spectrum of issues, both military and socio-economic.
Mm-hmm. From what you're saying, it's clearly not enough just to focus on Syria or parts of Iraq, but as well Northern Africa, where Islamic State has affiliates and other terrorist groups have affiliates.
That's absolutely right, because it's not possible to contain the problem within one country. And these people move quite freely from country to country. And we have some warnings and also proved intelligence that fighters are, once they are squeezed in Syria, they move, for example, to Libya. They have a lot of affiliations with movements like Al-Shabaab, like Boko Haram, and Al-Qaeda, Maghreb. And there are many, many groups who either directly cooperate or provide a safe haven to each other. And this kind of affiliation might prove very dangerous to not only African interests, but also to European interests in terms of long-term security.
Mm-hmm. When discussing steps that can be taken against, for example, Islamic State, is there any scenario in which you could envisage boots on the ground in Syria?
It's improbable at this this stage, because when political leaders came to an agreement, still fragile agreement, on a political settlement in Syria, it would be probably very unwise to launch a military intervention into Syria at this point. I think and I believe it is necessary to give a peaceful process a chance. And only if this process fails to deliver expectations, then we may start thinking about other alternatives, including potential military operation. But at this point, I don't believe that the military intervention into Syria would significantly improve the situation on the ground.
Mm-hmm. And because we've also been talking about Russia, obviously they're part of the calculus as well. I can't imagine that it would be easy to consider that kind of intervention with some kind of agreement with Russia.
We have to obviously pay an attention to strategic messaging. And strategic messaging from both Russia and President Bashar Assad's regime is that only Russia was invited. All the others are considered to be intruders. So, of course, we don't want to be seen as intruders, and we want to contribute to the resolution by rules. And that's why we would support the maximum peaceful resolution. And only really if that fails, we'll be looking for other options, including consultations with Russia and other players in the region, so that it is a comprehensive solution rather than just a unilateral from NATO.